Genesis chapter number 18 this morning. Genesis chapter number 18. In Genesis chapter number 18, we have God asking a question. And when I began to, when the Lord laid upon my heart about the word consider for our theme, he kind of led me to the great questions of the Bible. Now, most of the questions we're going to look at, in a series, some on Sunday mornings, probably some on Sunday nights, and throughout the year. It won't take the whole entire year, obviously, but there's some different things that God asks certain individuals. And why would God ask the question? Remember, he knows everything already. The Bible talks a lot about his knowledge. Think about a few of these things. The Bible says in Psalms 147 and 5, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Job 42:2, he says, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." Psalms 44:21, "Shall not God search us out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." You think about that. If God is asking a question, is he asking a question so he can get knowledge? Is he asking a question so that way he can learn something about it? The answer is no. He just says he knows the thoughts of man. He knows the heart of man. God knows everything. And when we come to this passage of Scripture and we come to this thought, why would God be asking us a question if he knows everything? It's because he wants us to consider something. There's something that we can learn, something we can grow from that question. Think about it. A school teacher, and I don't know what grade they learn addition, whether it's K-4 or kindergarten, is the teacher goes and asks the student, "What's 2 plus 2? Now, that teacher's not looking for knowledge. Hopefully, that teacher knows that means 4. And hopefully, there's 2 plus 2 equals 4. We all know that, but sometimes we'll ask someone that. Why is that? Because we want that student to consider it. And there's a number of times. I mean, some wonderful questions in the Bible. Sort of like when he was looking to Adam, and he asking Adam, "Hey, where are you?" Did he know where Adam was? He sure did. Asking Elijah, what doest thou here, when he was running? You think about it, when he's talking to Jonah, he says, "Doest thou well to be angry?" How about the one with the pools of Bethesda, "Will thou be made whole?" Or when he looked at Mary and says, "Believest thou this?" I mean, there is so many different questions throughout the Bible that have so many different teachings and so many different meanings that we can learn from. Think about it. When God has a question, he does it for a purpose. Generally, he wants to reveal or teach something to us through these questions. He wants us to consider something. There's always a purpose behind the question. Sometimes it's to give us insight about ourselves. Sort of like in Psalms 139, and when we're asking the Lord, "Search us, show us if there's any wicked way in us." You know, God already knows that. He is something to reveal about ourselves. Sometimes it's a revelation about himself. Sometimes it's to teach a spiritual lesson. Sometimes it is a call of action. And here in this story, God asked a question, and it's a question I think if we could get a hold of, I think it could actually change the way we live our lives. If we would allow it to become into the forefront of our mind, if we would let the truth capture our heart and think and consider of the omnipotence of Jehovah, of the omnipotence of God, of the omnipotence that he can do all things and he's all powerful, it can change every area of our life. You know, this past week that the Lord's been working on my heart about this thought that's found here in Genesis chapter number 18, he turns and he asks the question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And I began thinking when I came across trials in my life this past week, that question just kept on ringing in my mind. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? When I came across a temptation to sin, and I think that I don't really have any other choice to sin, you know, that thought came to my mind, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord can give me victory over that sin. The Lord can save a soul. The Lord can revive a church. Is there really anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything in this world that is too difficult for God to do? The answer is no. We serve a God that can do all things. We serve a God that through him we can do all things. And I want us to think about this, and if we let this truth grab a hold of our hearts, And we live our day-to-day lives with this thought that I serve a God that can do all things. It's going to encourage me to do what he wants to do, because it no longer is dependent upon me and what I can physically do. Instead, it's dependent upon a God that can do all things. So let's get into the story here. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 18 and look at verses 8 through 16. To give you a little background, the story, this is talking about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah have been promised by God that they were going to be the father and mother of a great nation, a multitude of people. But the problem is Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah is 90 years old, and they do not have a child. Chapter earlier, it talks about how God told Abraham and reminded him again that it's still going to happen. And Abraham, even out of faith, kind of laughs a little bit and is surprised by how God's still going to answer the prayer. Now here in Genesis chapter 18, God comes once again and he speaks to Abraham. Now, Abraham sees them. And it says in verse number 1, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him." So we know it's the Lord that's there. There is times when that God would appear unto man, and he does this in a form of coming as a man with two others. And he's having a conversation. Abraham sees him. Abraham, in verses 1 through 8, wants to take good care of him. He wants to be a good host. He realizes who they are. He wants to feed them. He wants to give them everything they need. And verse number 8, he begins to have a conversation with him. Let's pick up there. It says, "And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them." I think it's amazing that God would eat dinner with Abraham. I don't know about you, but I think that's amazing there. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And it says in verse number 9, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife?" Now, back then in that day, in that time in the period, if there was people that were coming to visit, they would entertain, and there was only male guests, that they would kind of eat together. And that the wife wouldn't come out and be a part of that. So they're asking, "Hey, where is Sarah at?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it, and the tent door, which was behind him. Now, they're there, and you got Abraham, you got the three that are there. And Sarah, not going to be out there, but instead, where's Sarah at? She's eavesdropping. You know, like every good lady would do, right? Eavesdrop on what the husband's talking to other people? No, of course not. But she's there, and she's behind the tent door. She's interested in what's being said. And look what it says here. It says in verse number 11, we'll go back to verse number 9. He says, "Behold, in the tent, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it on the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Not just old. Abraham was 100. Sarah was 90. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. It was impossible for her to have children. If you go back earlier in the Bible, it says that she was barren, meaning that she was not able to conceive. This means that she was no longer able to have children, even if she wasn't barren. Verse number 12 says, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself." Once again, she laughs, not out loud, but she laughs within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure of my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old?" So once again, why is he asking this question to Abraham? It's because Sarah is still listening. So he's asking Abraham a question with the intention of Sarah hearing it. And he says, "You know, why did she laugh?" And then look at this next words. It says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" He asked the question. Once again, he is reminding Abraham of this truth, but also he is telling Sarah something. He's asking a question. Does he know the answer? Of course he knows the answer. But he wants Sarah to think about this. "Yes, what I have said seems to be and is physically impossible. But is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And this morning, and even in this evening, we're going to look at another passage of Scripture that talks about, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And it's found a couple of times in the Bible, but it's referencing to the story of Jeremiah a little bit. But this morning, we're going to focus in on this lady. Now, this is a lady who is supposed to be a lady of faith, a lady who's been following her husband as her husband has been following God, and how she is questioning whether or not God is able to answer her promise. It's not the fact that this is new. This has been promised for many years. It's not the fact that Sarah is a new Christian. It should not be strong in her faith. She should be very strong in her faith. And this was a promise that God said he was going to do. But Sarah laughs. And it says in verse number 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. Sarah's like, I didn't laugh. You know, our lack of faith is many times something that we're ashamed of. The reality is we have a God that gives us so many resources to make a difference in this world, yet we do not live by faith and we do not use many of those resources. And when we are questioned by it, it's something that we're ashamed of. Oh, I didn't do that. But instead, you know, obviously God is saying to her that she did laugh. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Lord, I pray that you take this truth and you drive it so deep in our heart that we never forget it. Lord, we ask ourselves these questions when we look at the world around us that is full of craziness, and a world around us that we wonder if anyone can make a difference. And Lord, we ask this question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, help us to consider this truth. Help it to let it capture our heart. Help us as we walk throughout this next week, we walk with a confidence and a faith that I serve a God that can do all things. And that we don't live our lives like a God that we serve a God that can only do some things. But instead, by faith, we take this question to heart and we consider it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So we're looking at this, and like I said, to me, it's a very interesting thought. There's a lady there, a lady who loves God, a lady who has served the Lord for many years, and God had given her a promise, and God said, hey, you're going to have a child, and she laughs about it. And God says something to her that he wants her to think about, and he wants her to remember and remind her of this. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And that's something I think if we would consider, man, it would change the way we live our lives, change the way we look at things, change the way how we act. If there's nothing too hard for God, then I can trust in him. I can trust in his promises. I can trust in his word. I can trust in his commandments, because there is nothing that's too hard. But we live our lives many times not believing this. How often do we need to be reminded of this when we're discouraged? How often do we need to be reminded of this when obstacle comes? How often do we need to be reminded of this when problems come? A couple of things I want you to think about before we go any farther. Think about, there is no promise too hard for God to keep. There is no promise too hard for God to keep. In the Bible, there's about over 30,000 promises, and God will keep his word on each and every single one. There is never going to be a time, never going to be an opportunity where God had made us a promise of what he could do and what he was able to do and him not able to keep it. You think about the great, this is just a perfect example of the promise that God had given to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was lacking a faith. This is a question of faith. This whole sermon is a question of faith. We thought about calling the series, you know, the great questions of the Bible, and talking about a question of faith. And that's what this is. Sarah does not have the faith that God will do what he has promised. Sarah does not have the faith to say, I know my God can do all things, and I believe my God can do all things, but I'm not going to live my life that way. And that's what she's saying. She laughs within herself. She says, how in the world am I going to have a child? It's because God had promised them something. Now, here's how do we apply that to our heart and life. God has promised us how much? He has promised us so many things in his word. Over 30,000 different promises in the Bible, and there is not one promise that God cannot keep and that God will not keep. And I want to encourage you today. Sarah had a problem that many of us have. We have a lack of faith that God's going to keep our promises. We have a lack of faith that God's going to provide all our needs. when we're talking about consider missions. And I know the missions conference is over. I know the dates are passed, but we left the banner up as people are considering their faith promise for this year. And we left the banner up for one more week. And the reason why is because we want people to consider missions. And we want to believe that God is able to take care of us and God is able to provide for us. And sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes we see the bills and sometimes we're wondering. Sometimes we're overwhelmed. But we're just like Sarah. We're laughing inside thinking, there's no way God could take care of this, but he's promised us. He's told us he will take care of us according to his riches and glory, not according to our riches. So there is no promise that God cannot keep. And I don't know what type of promise you might be struggling with today, wondering if maybe God has promised us about giving us his spirit or filling us with his spirit. Maybe it's the promise about providing for him. Maybe it's the promise about giving out his word. So many times we lack faith, and because we don't know if God's really going to save an individual, if we don't know whether or not God's going to let his word return without void, you know, we don't know those things. Because of that, we don't live a life of faith. We live a life questioning whether or not God will keep his promises. And I ask you this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Not only that, there's no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. I've been thinking about some of the great prayers in the Bible, some of the great things that people prayed for. And we think about a child here. You think about Sarah, I'm sure, desiring a child. But recorded in the Bible is Hannah. Hannah was praying for a child, and God did what? He promised her a child. You think about Elijah, and Elijah prayed, and what happened? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. I mean, what a great prayer that was answered. There's not any God can answer that prayer. There's only one God that can answer a prayer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You think about Elijah once again. He prays and calls fire down from heaven. Once again, there is no other God that can do that. Is anything too hard for God? He called fire down from heaven. He stopped it from raining. He put a child inside a barren lady. And you think about Elisha. When he was there and he was sitting out there, we've recently learned about this, even missions conference reminded about opening up the servant's eyes, and he sees the chariots, the fire, the angels that are sitting there. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Who can do that? Only God can. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there any prayer that God cannot answer? I know what's coming into some of your minds. Same thing that comes in my mind. Of course, God can answer the prayer. The question is, will God? Here's the catch. Do you have the faith to believe that he can? Most of us like to say that, yes, God can, but will God? And isn't that what faith is all about? Isn't that what faith means? Is believing and trusting that God can and that God knows what's best. That God desires certain things for us. And God understands certain things and knows what's best. That I can ask for it not to rain. And I can ask for the child. And then I can ask for people's eyes to be open. And I can pray. The question is, do I have the faith to ask for those things? And do I believe as I am praying for those things? We ask for people to be saved. We pray for certain individuals. But do we have the faith that God can answer those prayers? If you go back and look at your prayer life in the last week or in the last years, have you truly prayed with the idea that, hey, God can answer my prayers? That's where faith comes in. There is no prayer that's too hard for God to answer. The next thing is there is no problem that is too hard for God to solve. There's no problem that's too hard for God to solve. I know sometimes we look at problems and they seem impossible. But don't we serve a God that specializes in impossible? And you think about some of the great things that God did. I think about the Red Sea. Boy, that was a problem, wasn't it? You got Pharaoh coming. You got probably a couple million Israelites there. And they've been called out and God brought them there. God's not distressed. They have a problem. Who can fix the problem? God can fix it. And I don't know what your problem in life is. I really don't, but I doubt it's something as big as the Red Sea. It might seem like the Red Sea to you, but it wouldn't take as much power to fix your problem than it would be to part the Red Sea, would it? You think about the walls of Jericho. What a great story. Is there something that my God cannot do? There's not. The walls of Jericho, they walked. There was a problem there. How are we going to get in Jericho? God made us a promise. How are we going to get in there? We'll go walk around it. God fixed the problem. And in the scriptures, there are so many different obstacles that came away. There was a big, big, tall Goliath that was there. God answered the problem. There is no problem that God cannot answer. So I want you to think about it today, and I want you to think about the question that God says to Abraham so Sarah can hear it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there a problem in your life that you don't think can be fixed? And my answer is, there is a God that can do all things, and there is no problem, and I mean no problem, that God cannot fix. Then you think about it. There's no person too hard for God to save. Wow. And you think about it, the world's sin problem. It's a problem. He fixed it, though, didn't he? When Christ came and died on the cross and rose again and gave us a way of salvation, it helped defeat the devil, it helped defeat the sin, it helped defeat the grave. It gave people an opportunity. Now, people might not like to think of it this way, but he fixed the sin problem. He gave an opportunity. And there is no man or woman that's too hard to be saved. And you go back and you think about some of the great people in the Bible that turned to God. And I think about, first one that comes to my mind is Saul, who became Paul. He was a man that would, it says, wreak havoc on the Christians. He would murder Christians. Why? Because they were Christians. If that man can get saved, don't you think anybody can get saved? If the religious man like Nicodemus can cry out to God, and in the next chapter you get the woman that was promiscuous from Samaria, if they both can be saved, guess what? There is no one, and I mean no one, whether they used to be a Hindu, whether they used to be a Muslim, whether they used to be this or they used to be that, there is no one that God cannot save. Is there anything that God cannot do? And he's asking Sarah this question because Sarah's sitting here and she's wondering and she's thinking, she's like, how's that ever going to happen? She's laughing inside, yeah, right. It's been many, many years and that prayer has never came true and that answer's never came. And she's doubting that God can do anything. But I want you to think about why it's important for us to think about this question, because most of us live here in this circle. Most of us live here in this circle about doubting what God can do. Can God really make a difference? Can God really save that soul? Can God really answer that problem? Can God really, really revive a country? You think about it. There is no city or country that cannot be revived. You consider, you know, America's gone too far. America's gone too bad. You think about the story of Jonah. You think about the story of Nineveh. All the wickedness there, all the evilness that was there. And guess what? There was the greatest revival, I believe, all history. Happened in the story of Jonah. Why is it? Because we serve a God that can do anything. We serve a God that can do all things. And you say, Pastor, we've heard this before. The question is, do we believe it? Do we live our lives praying to a God that, you say, Pastor, of course I believe God can do all things. But do you live it? See, that's what Sarah would say, yes, I believe God can do all things. Sarah was willing to follow her husband and leave a country and go all the way out here and live for many years and watch God bless after God bless after God bless after God bless, and God answered her prayers. Of course, Sarah would be first one to give testimony. He says, I believe God can do all things. But when it came to her personal experience, she began to laugh. And I don't think many of us, if any of us, would turn around and say, no, I don't believe God can do everything. But we would say in our own lives, how our actions are, I need to consider that more often. Because I make statements like, I don't think that person will ever change. I don't think that person will ever get right. I don't think that problem's ever going to get settled. And I don't think... And don't get me wrong, God is not going to force anyone to get saved. God is not going to force anyone to get right. But don't you believe there is a God that can change and a God that can do all things? You think about how it talks about the king's heart is in his hands in the Bible, and how many times if we would just consider and live our lives asking this question and consider it and live it and preach to ourselves. This morning we talked in Sunday school class about preaching to ourselves a little bit. Talked about the importance that our feelings and our emotions, many times they are so loud in us and there are so many different things coming to us that we need to learn, like David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and that we need to learn how to preach to ourselves, and we need to remember things like this. Hey, I serve a God that can do everything. And Sarah's emotions and Sarah's thoughts, hey, this is impossible. This cannot happen. How in the world is it going to happen? And what does God say? Sarah, this is what I want you to preach. This is what I want you to tell yourself. This is what I want you to live by. This is what I want you to consider. Is anything too hard for me? Is there something that I cannot do? I created the world. I created all the things in the world. Is there something in this world that I cannot? And that's what he's saying to Sarah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And if we would live our lives saying, is there anything too hard for the Lord? It could change the way we live. I can give out a gospel tract to somebody because I know the Lord could save them. I can give my tithe and I can give my faith promise because I know God can save them. I can serve in the ministry that God's called me to, even though I might be fearful, because I know God is able to make me what he wants me to be. I know I can forgive because I got a God that can do anything. I know that I can serve him. I can love my wife. I can submit to my husband. I can obey my parents. I can do all these things. Why is that? Because is there anything too hard for God? Is there something in your life that you think that cannot change? Is there something in your life that you feel like it's impossible to fix? There is no promise that God cannot keep. There is no problem that God cannot solve. There is no person that's too hard for God to save. There is no city that God cannot revive. Now, let's be honest here. There are people who believe this. You see the great stories of the Bible, and what do you see about the great stories of the Bible? You see men and women like David who went out and fought Goliath. Why is that? Because he believed his God could do anything. All the other Israelites that day didn't believe that. Saul didn't believe that. You know, you go throughout the great stories of the Bible. There was the Joshua. There are people who believe that, like Joshua, who believe that God could do anything by walking around the walls of Jericho. There is people in the Bible like Noah that believed that God could do anything. He could build a boat. And then he could destroy the whole world with a flood. And he could save those people and he could save all mankind. Is there something that God cannot do? Is there anything that, if you go back and you just remember those things, the obstacles that we face, even though they are real to us, even though they seem big to us, we serve a God that can do everything. And let God ask you that question. Is there anything that God cannot do? Is there anything the Lord cannot do? And I began thinking about others in the Bible that chose not to believe that. I remember one of my favorite stories in the Bible was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Nebuchadnezzar. And I remember when Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, look, if you don't bow down to this idol, I'm going to cast you in a fiery furnace. Think about what it says here. It says, he says, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, firing furnace. And who is, now listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar did not know that they served a God that could do anything. Now the sad thing is Nebuchadnezzar had already that proven to them in chapter number 2. And even in some ways in chapter number 1. But Nebuchadnezzar looked at those three boys and said, who is that God that's going to be able to deliver you? You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chose to say? He says, we are not careful to over answer thee in this matter. And then they continue on. I don't have it written down. It talks about our God is able. The point is, Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't know God. He didn't know that there was a God that could deliver him. He says, who is that God that can deliver you? Nebuchadnezzar was confused because of all those other gods that he worshipped and all those other gods he served. But he says, like, who is that God? But the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of the world says, our God is able to deliver us. And even if he chooses not to, we're not going to bow down to your idol, no matter what. Why is that? Because they believe that God was able to do anything. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know who he was. I think about the story of Elisha. You remember when those four leprous guys came and they found all the different things, and that God had caused the Assyrian army to flee away, and they spoil all the tents, and the four leprous guys come and tell them, hey, look, you know, all this food is out here, and there's a drought going on. And remember when the drought was going on, and Elisha had made a promise, and he said, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. He was saying they were having a problem. They were actually eating their own children. They were eating donkey's head and dove dung. I mean, that's how bad the famine was. And Elisha says, tomorrow, all that's going to change. You're going to be able to buy as much as you want for a very little bit. And there was a man, It says, "Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered a man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof.'" So what that man was saying, look, even if God opened up windows in heaven, that couldn't happen. You see what the difference is. That man looked at Elijah and said, even if God opened up windows in heaven, that would never, ever happen. Elijah says, it's going to happen. You're going to see it, but you're not going to eat of it. And we know that story a little bit. We've gone over on Wednesday nights this past year. So what do we learn from that? There are those who choose not to believe. There are those who are unrepentant. There are those who do not know God. There are those who do not believe in God, like Nebuchadnezzar and that man that leaned on the hand of the king, that were people that were saying, who is God? Who is that God that can do it? Even if God opened up the windows of heaven, it's not going to happen. And then you got people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that says, you know what? Our God's able to deliver us. You got Elisha that's willing to say, yes, God's going to allow this to happen. But the sad thing is, not all those who believe in God are standing over here. There's many of us, use the word us, that is like Sarah, that sees the impossible. God is, once again, this is not something Sarah is praying for, that God has said, maybe I'll answer, maybe I won't. This is a promise that God had already given them, that's laughing and saying, I don't think God could do it. You know, I think the prayer that Sarah should have said is like the prayer of the man that was in the story of Mark. The man that had the son that was taken over by devils and the disciples couldn't help them. And the man comes to Jesus and cries out and he asks him to have compassion on them and asks them, you know, to help them. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And remember the man's response. I believe, help thou my unbelief. That man believed and trusted that Jesus could heal his son. And he says, but help me even believe greater. I believe, and I think most of us in this room would say, yes, I believe that God can do all things, but help me with the unbelief that I have in my heart. Help me with the unbelief that I have when it comes to healing, or the unbelief that I have when it comes to my giving, or when it comes to my serving, or when it comes to my family, or when it comes to my problems. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Oh, please, Lord, enlarge my faith. That's what God is saying to Sarah here. He is saying to her, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what your concern is. I don't know what any of that is. But I know there is a God that can do anything. And he's asking us this question because he wants us to consider it. He wants us to consider not through eyes of wondering. He wants us to consider with an open heart and say, is there anything? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Because when you ask yourself that question, all the problems of this world begin to think, well, compared to the Red Sea, that's not that bad. Compared to the walls of Jericho, my God's got this. But it's getting past that and seeing it personally, applying it to our own life. It's believing and trusting in it. So what is it in your life that you're not sure that God can do? You know, here Sarah is laughing. God calls her on it. And then it says in verse number 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. You hear a message like this, and you might say, well, that message doesn't apply to me. You know what you're saying? I laugh not. I don't question you, God. I know you can do all those things. But do you have the faith to believe it? Do you have the faith to live it? What is it in your life that you're not sure that God can do? Providing for a specific need. Reaching the world with the gospel. You look across this room and you see all the flags. It's like, there's no way that those can be reached for Christ. I mean, no matter how much money we throw at it, how in the world can somebody over there in Japan gonna know when so many don't know? Well, remember, is anything too hard for the Lord? Are we living by faith to try to see that happen? Is anything too hard for God? If we believe there's nothing too hard for the Lord, then guess what? We believe that the world can be turned upside down. And guess what? It has been before, too, by his disciples. They went out into so many areas, reached the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Do we believe? Do we live a life? Then let's make it even more specific, that I can read my Bible and understand it. I mean, how many times I hear people, Pastor, I can't really read my Bible, don't get anything out of it. Is anything that God can't do? You're trying to tell me that God gave you this word and he can't help you understand his word? Man, that seems like a pretty lame excuse when you're looking at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army coming and he can part the Red Sea, but he can't explain his own word to you. I know there's parts in there we're going to have to learn. Sometimes some things we're going to learn when we get to heaven. But what about prayer? I can't spend time praying. Once again, is anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, is there something that's too hard for God? I mean, he can knock down the walls of Jericho. He can put his own son and the Virgin Mary. I mean, he can die on a cross and rise again, but he can't help us in our prayer life. Is there really something that's too hard? I can't really be faithful. I can't really forgive. I can't be a friend to that person. I mean, come on. I mean, is anything too hard for the Lord? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. It's whether or not, it's a question of faith, is whether or not I have faith. I know the same thing when it comes to sin. You go to Romans chapter number 6, it talks about how we can have victory over sin. It talks about how we are not servants of sin anymore. And you say, I just can't help my attitude. That's a lie. That's a lack of faith. That's saying that God can part the Red Seas, but he can't help my attitude. There's something wrong with that, isn't there? I don't know about you, but I think there's something wrong there when we say, I can't, through him I can do all things. Is there a certain sin? What is it in your life that you think that God cannot do? Now, once again, I know what everybody's going to say. Of course, God can do everything. But we're like Sarah. We're laughing at him, but we're saying, oh, no, I'm not laughing at that. And that's why God is telling him, I want you to consider this, Sarah. Did God know that Sarah was going to say, laugh about it and didn't deny it? Of course he knew that. He knew Sarah's heart. He knew Sarah's intention. He asked that question on purpose because he wanted Sarah to think about it. He wanted Sarah to say, you know what? There is nothing too hard for God. And he wanted her to come to the conclusion, you know what? I'm going to have a baby. But she was ashamed of the fact that she had a lack of faith. And I think if we were honest to ourselves and honest before God with an open heart, we would be ashamed of our lack of faith when it comes to doing certain things and accomplishing certain things and proceeding on in our life with our, whether it's our Bible reading, whether it's a witness, whether it's a prayer, whether it's victory over sin. You know, if you're faced with a temptation, is God able to do anything? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? If there's nothing too hard for the Lord, I know he can give me victory over that lie, that pornography, that whatever it is you deal with, that hatred, that anger, that weakness of faith. I believe, but help thou my unbelief is the prayer that should be coming out from our hearts today, saying, yes, Lord, I am reminded. Thank you for this question that you asked, Sarah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I believe. But I want you to help where I struggle at. Because there are certain areas of my life that I am not living like I believe. It's a question of faith. There are certain areas of my life that I'm laughing inside. I would deny it just like Sarah did, but I'm laughing inside when I believe that this person can become saved, so I'm going to live like a Christian in front of them. When I believe that God wants me to give something that I don't think I can give. God wants me to serve when I don't think I can serve. I say it, but I'm really inside laughing, saying, there's no way I could do that. Now, I would never admit that, just like Sarah didn't want to. And that's when God asked this question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? So I want to ask you today, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that's too hard for the Lord? Is there any, you're reminded of all these different things. There is nothing that's too hard for him. So let us respond by faith and say, God, I believe there is nothing that's too hard for you. And God, I want to live for you. And God, help my unbelief. Think about what it says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You might say, yes, God can. But if you begin the question by saying, will God? That means I don't trust him to do what's right and do what's best. You say, hey, God can cause a revival to happen in America. And once again, God uses willing vessels. God, the sin of unbelief is one of the sins that limits the power of God. Yes, he can do all things, but just like Jesus said in his own hometown, Nazareth, he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. You say, well, yes, I believe, but will God? That's what faith is. Believing that God knows what's best and God has the ability to do it, and I'm going to live my life believing he can do it, and I'm going to show it by my actions. I'm going to show it by my praying. I'm going to show that I believe that the Bible can help me have victory over sin. I'm going to show that the Bible can change my life because I'm going to read it. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to meditate on it because I know that God can do anything. Is there anything the Lord cannot do? I think about some of the issues going on in my heart and my life, and I wonder, how is God ever going to fix that person? But do I believe, do I pray, asking God to help mend that relationship? How is God ever going to help our church? We like to see more people. I mean, obviously, wouldn't we like to see more people here? We like to see more people saved. We like to see more people baptized, more people discipled. And don't we believe that? But in some people's heart, oh, that's never going to happen. Why is that? Because they forget this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? There isn't. Whatever area, you live in a country that seems like it's getting used to the darkness and it gets more and more wicked all the time. And we don't think there's any hope for it. Then you say that there's no hope that God can intervene. We're not supposed to live like that. Is there anything too hard for God? I want you to not only think about it during invitation time. I want you to take this week and I want you to consider that question. Tonight we're going to look at another story in Jeremiah. It's kind of a cool story. I don't know. I've never preached on it. And I'm sure you Bible scholars have a good idea of what's going on. But Jeremiah has prophesied that, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's coming and going to take over the land. And then someone asked Jeremiah to buy a piece of worthless property. And God tells him to do it. And then he goes to God and he says, there's nothing too hard for thee. He says it to God. But then he begins to wonder why in the world God would ask him to buy that property. And God asked him the same question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And he begins talking about how someday he's going to bring the nation back. And he talks about how he can do this miraculous thing and that he wants to teach through Jeremiah the same lesson he's trying to teach Sarah. Remember, you don't have to question God. He knows what's going on already. So today, this morning, it's about, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Because they're doubting and they're wondering, hey, I don't think God can do that. Tonight, you have a man who's serving and doing what's right, but he's wondering what's happening, and God's saying, hey, I got this. We're all good. There's two different types of faith, but it's still faith in the same God. It's one believing that God can actually do it, and then there's another one that says, I'm trusting even though I don't understand. This morning, is there anything that God cannot do? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Will he? That's what faith is. We do our part and we trust God to take care of the rest. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.